Good evening, and welcome to our Wednesday evening Bible discussion. We are broadcasting on the radio on 101.7 FM and also streaming online at jfbelievers.com. We thank you for joining us from wherever you are, and we pray that tonight would be an opportunity to grow in your understanding and application of God's Word. And so we'll go to prayer, and then we'll listen to Pastor Tim as he reads our scripture from Judges chapter 4 that we're going to recap and discuss this evening. Let's pray. God, as we come before you now, we ask that your Spirit would be with us wherever we're at, that you would be present. And we pray as we look into your word and as we discuss these things in our groups, that your word would be speaking to us and that our hearts would be attentive, that we would hear and that we would listen and that we would apply the lessons that we learn from your word to our lives today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Judges chapter 4. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth Hagoyim. Another one named for your children there, guys. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, and Jabin had 900 chariots of iron. And for 20 years he harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapodeth, was judging Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Obineam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded? Go and deploy troops in Mount Tabor. Take with you 10,000 men from the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. And against you, I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and the multitude of the river of Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand." And Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, then I'll go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." So she said, "I'll surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey that you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah arose and went to Barak in Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. And he went up with 10,000 men under his command. And Deborah went up with him. Now Heber, the Kenite, of the children of Hobab, the father of Moses, separated themselves from the Kenites, pitched his tent near the terebinth tree at Zanim, which is beside Kadesh. And they reported to Sisera that Barak the son of Abinoam had gone up to the Mount Tabor. So Sisera gathered together all of his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him, from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. And Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. However, Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me, do not fear." And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. And then he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I'm thirsty." So she opened a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him. And he said to her, "Stand at the door of the tent. If any man cometh and inquires of you and says, 'Is there a man here?' you shall say, 'No.'" Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple until it went down into the ground. and he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. And then Barak pursued Sisera. Jael came out to meet him and said to him, "Come, I'll show you the man whom you seek." And when he went to the tent, there lay Sisera dead with a peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan.
On Sunday, we looked at this story in Judges chapters 4 and 5, and Deborah, who served as both a prophetess and a judge over Israel. Now, though it is clear that men are called to step up and lead and be a picture of Christ, both in the family and in the church of God, it would be quite foolish for us to not also recognize the major roles that women have played throughout biblical history. There were prophetesses like Miriam and Huldah and Noadiah and Anna and the four daughters of Philip, the evangelist in the book of Acts. We see deaconesses like Phoebe. We see business leaders like Lydia and the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. Not to mention counselors, missionaries, evangelists like Ananias and Sapphira. And then we have whole books dedicated exclusively to focusing on women like Ruth and Esther, who overcame impossible odds to provide both redemption and deliverance for God's people. And don't forget, it was to Mary Magdalene that Jesus Christ first appeared after he rose from the dead. And in fact, it was through her that Jesus told the other disciples, you know, Peter and John and James, that he had risen. So, though we celebrate women's history here in the U.S. in the month of March, the Bible has recognized women in history long before we did in our society. And so, we looked at that on Sunday. We looked at how Deborah was not God's second choice, how Deborah was not a second-class citizen, and how she fulfilled her role as a woman. And this evening, we're going to look briefly at each of the characters in this story and ask, what can we learn from their life to apply to ours today? So first, let's look back briefly at the life of Deborah. Now we read Deborah was a prophetess and a judge. And so as a prophetess, she could relay God's messages to his people and hear from God what he wanted to say. And as a judge, she would be sought out and people would seek her out for her decisions and her counsel. She'd make good decisions ruling the people. Now, we also read that Deborah was also a wife and a mother. In verse 4 of chapter 4 and verse 7 of chapter 5, we read that she was both a wife and a mother. But outside of that fraction of a verse in both of those chapters, the rest of this story is dedicated to her being a judge and a prophetess. She didn't allow being a wife or a mother to get in the way of the important ministry, the important role to which God had called her. In fact, to this point, when Barak asked her to go with to the battle that was against all odds, Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. She risked her life, her marriage, and her family to go to battle for the Lord. So the question to be asked for us tonight, especially for those who are wives or mothers, is where does ministry for God's kingdom outside of the home fit into your priorities? Where does ministry for God's kingdom fit into your priorities? Deborah for us is an example to wives and to mothers, that ministry is first. As Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, let's look briefly at this other character, Barak, the other main character in our story. Now, we see that Barak was called out into question by Deborah. She asked him with a leading question, "Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, And then she goes on to explain the battle that Barak was called to. So apparently God was speaking to Barak also, but Barak was not listening or at best not obeying. And the odds maybe scared him, going up against a multitude with 900 chariots. Well, we read in chapter 5, verse 8, that not a shield or spear was seen among Israel. And so maybe Barak was hearing, but he was just too afraid to respond. Barak here needed a nudge, a confirmation from someone who was a spiritual leader. In Proverbs, we're told it is in the multitude of counselors that there is safety. And by wise counsel, we wage wars. And I also want to note here, when God speaks, often he's not just speaking to one person. He spoke the same thing to Deborah that he had spoken to Barak. When God speaks, often it is to his people, not to one individual. But Deborah not only would confirm what God had told Barak, but she also reminded Barak that God would deliver Sisera into his hand. She encouraged him. And that was all the nudge that Barak needed. Because we read in verse 10, Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his heels. 10,000 men. And you know what? We read going on in that verse that Deborah went up with him at his request. Here she was, a prophetess who could relay God's messages and a judge who could make good decisions in a tough situation. You know, I think Barak respected Deborah enough to plead that she come with. I can't imagine where I'd be in my own life without my wife, Faye. It wouldn't be at a good place. And I think Barak was wise to ask for Deborah to assist him to come along with into the battle. In fact, I don't think it was a lack of faith at all, because Barak would later be recorded in Hebrews 11 in the Hall of Faith among those who, quote, through faith subdued kingdoms, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong, and became valiant in battle, and turned to flight entire armies. That is from Hebrews 11, 32 through 34, and that's in reference to Barak in the Old Testament. So it was through faith that he was acknowledged, that he was an example, that he was a witness to us. So it wasn't due to his lack of faith that he asked Deborah to go with. I believe it was due to wisdom. And he has this record today all because he heeded the advice of a spiritual leader who happened to be a woman. So as we move on from Barak, let's ask ourselves, men, what lessons might there be here for us? Next, let's examine the men that were called to the battle. We read, Zebulun and Naphtali in verse 10 went up at Barak's heels. And later in chapter 5, verses 2, 9, 14, 15, 18, we read, Ephraim, Benjamin, Manasseh, and Issachar also joined in, and that they were faithful, and that they rushed forth at Barak's heels. We read in verses 2 and 9 that they offered themselves willingly, and in verse 18 that they endangered their lives to the death. And you know what? At the moment they engaged this battle against all odds, unarmed against a multitude of Canaanites and iron chariots who were most likely very well armed, we read at that moment that they engaged, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army. Deborah tells us in chapter 5, as she recounts the battle, that the sky fought against Sisera in verse 20 of 5. And then in verse 21, she says that the torrent of the Kishon, this little creek, flooded. The torrent of the Kishon swept them all away. You see, as the men willingly engaged in the Lord's battle, the Lord showed up to fight for them. God made a storm that flooded the Kishon and swept the enemy away. And their faithfulness in battle would be remembered in history. But there were also men who did not show up to the battle. In chapter 5, verses 15 to 17, we read that Reuben and Gad and Dan and Asher came not forth to battle for God's people. And it says they had some great searchings of heart. They longed, they wanted to fight. Twice we read that, but they lingered, it says, among the sheepfolds and listened to the piping, the music of the flocks. They stayed with the ships, it says, and sat still on the seacoast, on the beach, and they remained by their landings or inlets. They didn't engage. They didn't get involved. They didn't participate. And you know what? Many of us today are guilty of the same when it comes to the service of the kingdom of God and God's people. What the end result is non-involvement, because we're choosing comfort, our pleasure, our possessions, over participation. The question for us today, this evening, is, are we engaged in the service of God's kingdom? Or are we like these other men who were disengaged and stayed back with their comforts and possessions? Next, I want to turn to our story to a woman who didn't get much attention on Sunday. Her name is Jael. We read, Sisera fled in verse 17 on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. But then jumping down to 21, we read that Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the pin through his temple and into the ground, for he was in a deep sleep from weariness. And we read, so he died. I guess so. So the Kenites were on the border between Israel and Jabin, king of Hazor. And we read that there was actually peace between Jabin, the enemy, and the house of Heber, the husband of Jael, the Kenite. So Jael finds herself living literally on the fence between God's people and the enemies of God. And perhaps for a time it worked out. She probably reaped benefits from Israelites as well as the king of Hazor and the Canaanites. She probably could get the best of both worlds for a time. However, now Sisera was in her tent and Barak was soon to arrive. Jael could no longer play both sides of the fence. She had to make a decision. So here she is, armed with only a hammer and a tent peg, and she makes up her mind. She nails the enemy, Sisera, to the ground. So what's the lesson here for us with Jael? It's that sooner or later, we all have to make a decision. Sooner or later, we all have to pick a side. As Jesus put it, you will either be for me or against me. There is no middle ground. There is no gray area. Everyone must choose, and we all will. Now, the last person I didn't touch on at all on Sunday is the mother of Sisera. We find her at the end of chapter 5 in verses 28, 29, and 30. And I'm just going to read verses 28 and 30. We read, the mother of Sisera, this is after the battle, the mother of Sisera looked through the window and cried out through the lattice, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarries the clatter of his chariots? See, Sisera had not returned home. And then in verse 30, we read, she says, are they not finding and dividing the spoil to every man, a girl or two, for Sisera, plunder of dyed garments, plunder of garments embroidered and dyed, maybe two pieces of dyed embroidery for the neck of the looter? So you can see what's on her mind. She wants her son to return with success. See, the mother of Sisera here stands in great contrast to a mother in Israel named Deborah. See, this mother was at home while Deborah was engaged in the battle. This mother was focused on earthly gain while Deborah was focused on the kingdom of God. See, this is an issue that we have in society today, even amongst Christian mothers. This issue of prioritizing a child's worldly success and happiness. You know, oftentimes I've seen this where a mother cares so much for their child, but with the cares of this world, so much that they want their kids to be happy, even if it means they live in sin or apart from God or apart from God's people. They want their children to be happy and successful in this world with the things of this world. And I've seen this even amongst Christian mothers, because there is so much care and compassion there, but it's misguided. It's not like Deborah's, who is willing to forsake her family, to leave her children behind, to leave them perhaps desolate without a mother so that she could serve the kingdom of God. These women stand in stark contrast to each other. So this is a sobering question for mothers today. What are your priorities for your children? And what kind of mother will you be? In the end, this mother of Sisera would cry out in defeat, while Deborah sang a song of victory. So in closing, we've looked at the characters of Deborah and Barak, and at the men who were called to battle, those who followed and those who did not. And we also looked at Jael and this mother of Sisera. In doing so, I hope a window has been opened into your own heart this evening. And as you go to discussion, you can consider these lessons from each of these characters and perhaps apply any needed correction that we all need from time to time in our own life and in our own character. So as you go to discussion, I pray you're blessed this evening. Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.